Amen. Beautiful song. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And verse 41. Acts 2:41. We have a huge week ahead of us. And appreciate all the work already. Just unbelievable, all the work. Teachers working on classes, working on decorations, working on, in Brother Mormon's case, weaponry, working on so many things have already happened. The platform, unbelievable. Just the artwork, Dar and Mystery and the Palmany family and America was here, and Dave Rincon helped Paul Hammerstrom just building the framework and everything. Just amazing. And all the work, bus routes, you know, what an amazing thing. We had two routes with big promotions going on even today, and all of that building for Vacation Bible School. And it is humbling for me as a pastor to have so many great people that are willing to put in the work. Last year, it seems like we had around 140 people that helped in our Children's Vacation Bible School, and then Shepherd's Bible School. I believe last week we had 20 or 30 folks helping out, just under 200 people. Think about that, just under 200 people just to make it all happen, and it is such a blessing. I talk to pastors all the time. They talk about Vacation Bible School, and some of them aren't even having it anymore because they just don't have the workers. And, you know, the question always comes up, well, I'm sure it's difficult to you know, and it's one thing, it isn't difficult because of all the people that are behind the scenes doing the work. And it just is such a blessing. It's just such a great thing to be able to tell people about all the help, all the workers that we have. And so I'm excited, and I think that the week is going to go very, very well. I want to talk to you about, we continue our theme of a time for discipleship. And we've talked about the course of discipleship, the common lessons of discipleship. This morning I preached on the commands of discipleship, go from, go forth, and go forward. And tonight I want to talk to you about the church and discipleship. It is good timing as far as Vacation Bible School because it is a discipleship program. Certainly we use our Vacation Bible School in many ways. We use it to try to bring lost souls to Jesus. We'll see many young people trust Christ as Savior this week, and we praise the Lord for that. But that's not the whole thing that has to do with Bible school. We want those who are already saved to grow. We want them to learn. We want them to gain the knowledge and the teaching that God wants them to have, that they can grow and be what they need to be. I do want to mention to you that so many young lives have been influenced at a Vacation Bible School. So many folks on the mission field, so many pastors, so many pastors' wives, Christian school teachers, deacons in churches, Sunday school teachers, their lives were literally changed at a Vacation Bible School. And so please don't ever sell short what can happen when we're doing discipleship the way God wants us to do it. And so Acts 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And Father, we come to you tonight just thanking you for our church and the opportunity we have not only to evangelize, not only to give out the gospel and see people saved, but then to disciple those people. And it's exciting to watch people grow, exciting to see folks get excited about you and wanting to serve you. And this is a wonderful week and a wonderful opportunity that we have. And I pray that you will help us as we move forward in evangelism and discipleship this week with our Vacation Bible School. I pray you'll prepare our hearts and just work in our lives and help us tonight with your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The go of the gospel is always go ye, and we use that so many times for soul winning and evangelism. Just spent last month talking about evangelism, but this morning the go also fits for the new Christian. It fits for the new convert. It is discipleship. Discipleship is going forward. It is going from. It is going forth. It is going forward. And to be a disciple, you must do those things. You must go from Egypt, get as far, you know, just keep, your whole life needs to be getting away from that old life, that old world. You must go forth. Your salvation is not complete once you get saved. Yes, you're saved. You're saved for all eternity, but God has more for you. So you have to go forth as a disciple, and then you need to go forward. It should be a constant growth. It should be a constant, again, if we're going from one thing, we should be going to a whole other thing, and that other thing is Canaan in the Old Testament picture. It is also abundant life, as Jesus spoke in John chapter 10. And so many of us have been on that path. Many of us, I was saved at the age of 17, and I've been on that path. And thank God for people who discipled me and help me on that path, and thank God for people who still do that, and thank God for His Word where I can continue to grow. You haven't figured all the Bible out yet. I don't care how long you've been saved, you still have some growing to do. We all do. And so we just need to keep going forward. And as a church, though, we have to provide a way for disciples. We have to provide a way for them to go from, go forth, and go forward. And so all of those things are important. If you read the book of Acts, it's obvious the church is crucial in discipleship. Go back to the Great Commission in Matthew 28, and we covered all this, I understand, but I don't want you to miss this. Matthew 28, verse 19, we often read, and we should, but it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." And again, getting people saved, but notice verse 20, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And so there is the going and getting them saved, but then there is the going and teaching them all things that Jesus, that the Lord, has commanded us. And in our text, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it talks about this very thing. It says, in the first part of Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, when? This was after they received the word of God. They were baptized. In other words, they got saved. They got baptized. And then they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine. They stayed with it. They learned it. They studied it. And again, it was all part of discipleship. It was part of them learning how to live the Christian life so they could be what God wanted them to be. And so I have some things I want to show you tonight, and we'll go quickly. Number one is the message of discipleship. The message of discipleship. The Bible's very clear. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know, doctrine is the message that we have. It's the teachings of God's Word. It's the teachings of God. Doctrine, it is very important. Verse 41, it was important in salvation. Then they that gladly received His Word. Well, you don't get saved unless you get it from the Word of God. You have to hear it, and you have to hear what God has to say. You have to hear how that we're lost and how we deserve hell and how Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And we know that, and we get excited about it. We say, oh, hallelujah, boy, that's right. We need to preach the gospel so people can get saved. But we need that same doctrine so that people can grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is just as important that folks hear the Word of God and the doctrine from the Word of God after they're saved as it is in order to get them saved. I wrote down this quote. Now, it may be said better by somebody else, but I wrote it down as a quote from Pastor Rogers, and that is, "What is taught is what is learned." Isn't that deep? Now, I know others have said that better, but I don't know. I was just sitting thinking, and we get confused about stuff like that. What is taught is what is learned. You're not gonna learn something right that was taught wrong. It's not gonna happen. You're not gonna be able to grow in Christ unless you're taught about Christ. You're not gonna grow in the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ unless you're taught the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't accidentally become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. You decide, this is what I need, and God's given us the textbook right here, His Word. And so what is taught is what is learned, and that's why we use the King James Bible. It either is or it isn't the Word of God. And it either is or it isn't life-changing. Well, if we use it for soul winning, and we believe a person can get saved by hearing the Word of God, then surely that person can grow by hearing the same Word of God. It must be a life-changing message, not a message of man. Now, there are many new convert books out there. I have many of them in my office. There are many new convert plans out there, but all the right ones take you right back to the Word of God. All the right ones take you to the Bible. And so again, not of man. You know, God's, again, you can't get saved by man's teachings. You can only get saved by what God said. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we know that man's teachings are not going to get us saved. Well, same thing is true. Man's teachings will not be the right tools for discipleship. Now, man can teach us, math, and man can teach us science, and different things like that. A man can teach us how to work on a car, and man can teach us how to do electrical work, all kinds of things like that. But in the growth of a Christian, we have to have the Word of God. We have to have the right doctrine. Again, go to John chapter 1. Just write these verses down, or you can turn and look at them now. John chapter 1. Again, in reference to salvation, John 1 and verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Our salvation is supernatural. Our salvation is a miracle. It is a transformation. It is God changing us. It is God making us a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Guess what? Discipleship, same thing. Matthew 16, verse 17. Matthew 16, 17. Well, I hope you get this. This is good stuff. And it is hot up here. Matthew 16 and verse 17. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven." Now listen to me. If we take the Word of God and we teach the doctrine of the Word of God, God supernaturally makes us what we ought to be. Amen. That's discipleship. Okay, it's not just me learning a bunch of facts. It's not just me learning a bunch of words. It's not just me memorizing a bunch of words. It is God taking His Word and God doing a work in my life supernaturally, making me what I could never be otherwise. Man can't produce a disciple. But our church can have a part in that because we have the message of discipleship. And by the way, we have the commission to do it. We are not bringing children for vacation Bible school just to say, oh, we had them memorize verses. Oh, we had them hear Bible truth. No, listen to me. It is not just so they can hear those things, though we want them to hear it. It is so God can change their life. Folks, understand, this isn't just a social program. This is a God-changing lives program. Amen. That's what discipleship is. That's right. The disciples, listen, their lives were transformed. The disciples' lives, okay, they were disciples because they said, I want to learn about Jesus. But in the learning of Jesus and the doctrine, the Word of God, their lives were transformed. Peter would not hang upside down on a cross when he first became a disciple. But as God changed his life, as God worked in his heart, as Jesus said to him, Peter, when thou art converted, in other words, once you've gone through the process of discipleship, when I've changed your life, he said, strengthen thy brethren. Listen, we're looking for folks that yes, we want them to get saved. That's a wonderful thing. But it's just the beginning. And we have the message. And I hope that is imperative to every one of us. You know, many Christians treat it differently. We talk about the message of salvation being different than the message of discipleship. It's all a miracle. Every part of it is a miracle. Just you say, well, I got saved, that miracle's over with. But there's a whole other miracle. It's called discipleship. It's us growing to be what God wants us to be. There is absolutely no way in this world. You look around and maybe you don't know, maybe you do know, folks, but folks aren't what they are without the life-changing Word of God. I know I'm not. I know it's not possible. I know it. There is no way that my life goes the way it goes without the life-changing Word of God. Without sitting and hearing a preacher preach the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God, the doctrine of the Word of God, that's how my life was changed. That's discipleship, when somebody will sit and they will listen to that. Amen. It's discipleship. Okay, we're going to see, let's say we see over 50 people saved this week. You know, let just, again, that's we usually see more than that, but again, we don't know who means it and who don't even care. You know, that's not our business, that's his business. But we see that many people saved. But understand, the majority of people out here, not just children. I do you know every Vacation Bible, I'm praying for God to speak to the hearts of the adults. Why? Because it's a great opportunity. Why? Because it's the Word of God, and it is life-changing. Every service should be that way for us. Every junior church, every Sunday school class, every time we get together, there ought to be opportunity with the message of discipleship. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, Jesus said. Teaching them to observe those things that I've commanded you. Man, that's good. Verse 42, back to Acts chapter 2. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And all of it, it all starts with doctrine. You know, it all starts with the Word of God. Every part of it. And verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. Fear, what's that? Conviction, respect, awe of God. Amen. How's that happen? That happens with the doctrine. That happens with the Word of God. It doesn't come up, it's not by accident. It's not, hey, when I started going to church, you know, I didn't know much about church. And I kind of mocked church. I sang as an unsaved heathen kid. I sang in a Christian group. I sang. In fact, I was supposed to play drums for that group later on. And I was lost as lost could be. And I kind of mocked all the thing and did some wicked things. We went to toured the Indiana State Fair, and we sang at the State Fair. And there I was, lost, and did some very wicked things. Had no interest in the things of God, mocked the things of God. But I tell you, folks, after getting saved and after some discipleship, I can't even believe I thought the way I thought. Why? Because I'm in awe of God. There's a reverence for God. There's a fear of God. There is a conviction from God. And if we don't have that, then we've not been discipled properly. We've stunted our discipleship, because there should always be that. And KJV, the old King James Bible teaching, leads to a right fear of the Lord. And I remind you that it is stated at least twice in the Scripture that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. You might as well not learn 1 + 1 without the fear of the Lord. You may as well not learn what H2O is without the fear of the Lord. Because if you did learn what H2O is, you would think eventually if you listen to the world and listen to man's system of humanism, you would think that somehow man created H2O. But with the fear of the Lord, you know where H2O came from, don't you? With the fear of the Lord, 1 + 1 actually starts to make sense. Because God's a God of order. Without the fear of the Lord, it all is confusion. Listen to me. Discipleship's crucial. It is every opportunity we have, praise the Lord. Every opportunity. Dads, I preached about it last week. You should be discipling your children. It is discipline, but it is teaching. It is, again, using the life-changing Word of God to change their life. That is discipleship. It is making that which is a baby, making them mature in the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Fear, conviction, that's what happened here. Fear came upon every soul. Fear came upon every soul. Why? Because they kept hearing the Word of God. You know, in our world, come on, you know how it is out there. You know how it is sometimes right in here. Nobody's worried about it. Oh, yeah, he's the old man upstairs. No big deal. Well, I'll tell you, there just is no fear of God. There's no respect for God. And I'm telling you, it's because people are, it's going in one ear and out the other, or they're just saying, I don't want it. Because if you take in the Word of God, and day after day after day, you read this book, and you listen to preaching, and you listen to the Bible, let me tell you something, you are going to realize who God is. But our world, you know, they don't. And in the average church today, it's not a big deal. It just isn't the main thing. In fact, it's very offensive because God's a God of love. And we have nothing to fear. They need to read their Bible. Because ultimately, look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Again, I'm not telling you something that'll hurt you. I'm telling you something that you ought to be thrilled about. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, because here's what it says. This is what happens with discipleship. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And again, it's as if we're staring in the face of Jesus and we're becoming like Him. That's discipleship. And again, it's not because of something we do, it's something He does. It is miraculous. It is every bit as miraculous as our salvation when we are made a new creature. It is God working in us. But listen, we have that message right here in our King James Bible. We have that message. We cannot falter to get that message to disciples. Amen. Number one, the message of discipleship. Number two, the manner of discipleship. Verse 44 of our text, Acts chapter 2, 44. And all that believed were together. Isn't that good? The manner of discipleship, it all starts with there together. Verse 46, it says this, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness. And look at this, singleness of heart. They're together. The manner of discipleship. It is, well, how can they be together? I mean, people don't like the same colors. People don't like the same ball teams. People don't like the same hymns. People don't like, that has nothing to do with it. Well, how could they be together? How could they have this singleness of heart? Well, it's based on what they believed. What's that? Doctrine. You know, we live in a day where people, more and more independent Baptists, are going the direction of, well, it doesn't matter what your doctrinal position is. We just love each other. That is phooey. That is hog slop. That is out of hell. And it's ruining churches. And it's destroying discipleship. Because the unity, the togetherness, the commonality is based on doctrine. It has to be. It is the one thing that we know is true. It's not opinion. It's not, well, here's what I like. It's doctrine. It's the Word of God. It has nothing to do, you know, somebody may say, well, I think Amazing Grace is the best song. And somebody else may say, well, I think Victory in Jesus. And you know what? Praise the Lord, they're both good. Amen. It has nothing to do with, it has everything to do with, we agree on the doctrines. We agree on the doctrines. And I don't care if you like red carpet. You may say, I don't like the platform turned into a Wild West place. And I think that, feed bags are blasphemous. And I think cacti on the platform is not right. And that's fine. And that's okay. But listen to me. Do we agree that little children need to get saved? Do we agree that they need to hear the Bible? Do we agree that this is the Word of God? And this right here could change their lives. Do we agree? Well, and if we do, then we can get along okay. I promise you this. All that believe we're together, I promise you that all that believed here, they had singleness of heart, but I guarantee some of them liked a hamburger, and some of them liked a hot dog, and some of them liked to drink Pepsi, and some of them only drank Diet Coke, and it was okay. And some of them said, I'll never drink coffee. Another one said, I've got to have a whole pot an hour. And you know what? It was okay. Why? Because they were together on this. And they didn't let their differences cause them to squabble because they knew this was more important than any difference they could ever have. They knew that, I prefer blue and I prefer red. And they knew, okay, well, that's fine. You have things that are blue and I'll have things that are red. And we'll just love the Word of God together. And they didn't listen to Satan trying to divide them. They were together. Discipleship, it has to be that way. Okay, if I teach somebody, for example, if I teach a child that you're saved by grace through faith, and Brother Hollins teaches them something else, they're going to be confused. So we got to work together on our doctrine. Now, he may tell them that they need to be for the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup playoffs, And I may tell them they need to be for the Detroit Red Wings in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Okay, that's all right. And we'll just kid around, and we'll laugh, and we'll have a good time with that. And amen? We will. Why? Because who cares? It doesn't matter. But what does matter is if I'm telling them they need to be saved by grace through faith, and he says you need to work your way to heaven, then we got a problem. But who wins Stanley Cup play? Who cares? He cares, but some of you care. But again, I'm just saying, in the big scheme of things, it doesn't matter. Okay, the manner of discipleship, we've got to be together. As a church, we have to be together. Look what it says here. This is so good. And really, we're moving very, very fast. It's amazing because you look so intelligent tonight. And notice what it says here. It says in chapter 4, verse 32. Chapter 4, 32. I'm sorry. Let's look here again. Verse 44 again. And they had all things common. You see that? Chapter 4, verse 32. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. There it is again. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. They had all things common. Do you understand? This church does not belong to any one of us. It is ours. It doesn't belong to any one of us. Commonness, though, is based on doctrine. Okay? Let me explain that. We are a body. Jesus is the head. Amen? If we're going to accomplish anything, we better get that down. Okay, we, right here, we are a body, and Jesus is our head. All right, and if we don't get anything else, we better get that. All right, and so hand in hand need to get along with each other. Okay, hand and foot need to get along with each other. You know, feet need to take body wherever head says go. Amen. Amen. And if feet take body wherever head says go, hands get to go along. And then they can do whatever they're supposed to do. Are you listening? Okay, we better get that settled right here because, again, the manner of discipleship is together. We got to do it together. Satan loves it when we're divided. You know why? Because things don't get done. Why? Because hand here wants to do this and hand here wants to do that and you have a split personality. That doesn't work. Amen. This church, they had all things common based on doctrine, But the church didn't belong to any one of them. It was theirs. The commonness is based on the doctrine. We're a body. That's why, look, John 13:35. I quote it all the time. John 13:35. But I want you to write it down, look at it, pray over it. How does the world know that we are His disciples? Well, we have Vacation Bible School. Nope. Well, we give X amount of money. Nope. Well, we go soul winning. Nope. Nope. Run buses. Nope. Have a shepherd's ministry. Nope. How does the world know we're disciples? How could the world know that it says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. And what is it? If ye have love one to another. That's how. Now, I didn't write that. I would have said that we all give lots and lots of money. But that isn't what Jesus said. He said, if ye have love one to another. And so we have to disciple with love. And we have to love one another in front of disciples. You know, it's so crucial because we are a body. See, here's the thing. Let's follow this. When part of my body acts up, okay, let's use my eyes. I've had glaucoma for years. I don't even know how many years. And so my eyes are acting up. They have glaucoma. That means my right eye I can barely see out of. But when I went to, okay, I could have taken a chisel and put it there and taken a hammer and like that. That's not the good thing, is it? No. What do I do? Well, I go to a doctor who tenderly fixes it. Right? He didn't use a chisel. He did use a laser, but at least he numbed everything, and all I could do was hear it sizzle, which is much better than feeling it sizzle. Would you agree? But you fix that part tenderly. You fix that part as gently as you can fix that part. You know, so we see a part of the body that gets out of whack. We don't take a hammer and beat it. I mean, this is your body. It's a body. You know, my hand went to sleep. You know? Well, I wish I hadn't done that. We fix it. Amen? And so when we see a part of the body that gets out of whack, we need to try to fix it as best we can. Why? It's part of the body. It just always amazes me how nasty that word, and I hate the word, but it just is so descriptive. People can be so nasty, just nasty. You know, and instead of, well, let's try to fix this thing. Instead of being just nasty. But again, it's our manner of discipleship. So you lead somebody to Christ. Okay, my example, the fella, we started our church, a guy got saved the first Sunday night service, which was the first day we started our church. And this guy got saved, and he smoked. He smoked a lot. And we taught a soul winning class, and so that was just automatic. He's going to go soul winning. And he went with me first time. He went soul winning, and he put out his cigarette on the way out. And I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. Now I could have chewed him up one side and down the other, but it's a body part that needs fixing, and it doesn't need cut off. It just needs fixed. How am I going to fix it? Well, I'm not going to fix it. He's going to fix it, but I'm going to use the Word of God in discipleship. And that fixes so many problems that people just grow. I've talked to I don't know how many people this past week about the one variable that you can't predict anything on, and that's somebody backsliding. When somebody backslides, they can do anything. And I'm working on a message because it just ties into the lust of the flesh that talks about the lust of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and murder and adultery and all those wicked things. That's our potential anytime. You might be the best Christian we've ever seen in the world. 1 month, and the next month, you might be the most heathen person we know. Because backsliding, it does all kinds of weird. I mean, you can't predict it. But the point is, in discipleship, and again, when somebody's backslidden, they quit growing. They're not growing anymore. They're going the other way, and therefore anything can happen. But what should we do? Well, we should love. And we should continue to try to get them to be discipled to grow. We should disciple with love. But on the other side of that, notice Acts 4, verse 13. Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. There's boldness. What's that mean? Boldness means with conviction. And so in our discipling, okay, you can't approach somebody you're trying to teach and say, well, I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I think you ought to believe it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in soul winning, and it doesn't work in discipleship either. You either believe it or you don't believe it. That's another problem in our day. There's just not as many, there's not a lot of people that are just sold on what they believe. Now, I beg you, I plead with you. You know, for a while, you'll get by, young person, on, well, my parents taught me this. That'll get you a little ways. Well, my preacher said so. That'll get you a little way. You know, well, my Sunday school teacher taught me. That'll get you a little way. But somewhere down the road, you better get it here. And if you're ever going to disciple anybody, you better believe it yourself. You'll never teach anybody anything if you don't believe it yourself. You're going to have a hard time. And the Peter and John here, the people could see their boldness. It's very interesting. They perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. Why? Because in their boldness, they probably split infinitives and dangled participles and didn't get all the words out right, but they sure were bold about it. And the boldness was what convinced them they'd been with Jesus. Why? Because they believed it. Now I know, we're in a day and age where people don't believe a whole lot. Most people are just if it feels good, do it. And that's pig slop from the 60s. Well, it's before that. If we aren't convinced, we won't convince disciples. If I'm not convinced, I can't convince young people. If you're not convinced, Dad, you'll not convince your children. Boldness. Now, wait a minute. There's love, but there's also boldness. Do you believe what you believe or not? Do you even know what you believe? Do you believe it? With conviction, boldness. By the way, chapter 4 and verse 31 says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's just yielding to the Holy Spirit that He fills them. Boldness. I've been pastoring over 30 years now, and I've heard the words over and over, you think you're right. Well, I believe I'm right. I do. And if I didn't, I wouldn't be able to stand up here. I'm not going to stand in front of people and stand up and say, I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure about that, folks, but y'all just do whatever you think feels good. Not going to do it. It's not right. Well, you just think you're right. No, I don't think I'm right. I believe that I'm right. I believe what I believe. And by the way, I didn't just wake up one morning believing it. Amen. I didn't just wake up, pop, hey, I believe this today. No. Listen to me. I was discipled that way. I was discipled by people at Marian Baptist Temple, at Pensacola Christian College in the campus church, and Pastor Bob Taylor. I was discipled by those who also believed they were right. And they discipled me that you better believe what you believe. You see, A disciple, a child, a new convert, a disciple, they don't need a milksop. Do you know what a milksop is? It's when you take your cookies and milk. It's been so long since I had cookies and milk, but you dip your cookie in the milk and it breaks. That's a milksop. It's a noodle backbone kind of a. Disciples don't need a milksop. They don't need somebody to say, if it feels good, do it. That's ungodly. It's out of hell. That's secular humanism. Amen. They don't need somebody that says, well, we just need to change with the times. Fooey on that stuff. God said he changes not. His word changes not. You don't need somebody that a disciple doesn't need someone to say, well, I don't want to make you mad. Some of you better decide where you are and what you believe and quit worrying about making everybody mad and be very concerned whether he's happy or not. I'm serious about that. And again, you're not going to be effective as a noodle. You can't be. Well, all that matters is that you're saved. It's not all that matters. God's not done. Non-committal, non-convicted, non-convinced discipleship. That's the day we live in. But it's not right. Disciples need somebody to be bold, like they were in the New Testament time. We need boldness with love. We need a balanced discipleship where people know, hey, you know, well, so what is it with the little prizes? Why do we give out all these little prizes? Why do we work hard to make the prize? You could ask Brother Dave. It drives me nuts. I want everything to be perfect. Why do I care? Because I love these kids. Why does it matter? Why do you spend so much time? Why do you put all the effort? Why does the Bible school lesson have to go with what goes on the platform? Why do the decorations have to go with that? Why does this have to go with that? Why does the prize have to correlate with? Why does it matter to you? Because we love the kids and we want an opportunity for their life to be changed. It could be the one time, not just for a young person to be saved. But the one time for a young person, all of a sudden it all clicks. I get it. And it's amazing how it does in a discipleship program such as this. Number one, the message of discipleship. Number two, the manner of discipleship. And then the last thing, number three, is the methods of discipleship. In verse 45, back in chapter 4, it says, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And we see right away discipleship is sacrificial. Well, we all get excited and we talk about soul winning. Well, we got to sacrifice. But the same thing is true about discipleship. It's just like evangelism. There's a cost involved. There's a cost involved. Lots and lots of money. Sunday school and junior church and buses and vacation Bible school and the fair ministry and the RU program and Berean Baptist Academy and the shepherd's ministry. And there's a huge, huge financial cost. There's no question about that. It's sacrificial. There's got to be sacrifice. Tonight, we'll receive a love offering for Vacation Bible School. We do for many of our ministries. But again, there has to be that sacrifice. These people did. They sold their possessions and good. They parted them to all men as every man had need. You know? But it's not just a sacrifice of money, but it's time, it's effort. Here's the attitude. Look at chapter 3 and verse 5. This is so good. And I read this whole, I wanted to preach the whole thing, but we're talking about a whole other monthly series or something. Chapter 3 and verse 5, you'll notice as Peter and John are they're ministering, and verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Who's this? This is a lame man. And he saw the men of God, and immediately he was expecting to receive something. Isn't that good? Oh, that is so good. I love that. You say, yeah, that's the way it is. Everybody's expecting to receive something. Isn't that the way they look at the church? Isn't that what we're here for? Do we have anything to give? Amen. Now, you know, Peter, he said it best, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I don't have any money to give you. The guy's, oh, you know, hey, could you help me out? I don't have any silver and gold, but here's something from God. But everybody comes to church, they are expecting to receive something. What are we going to give them? We have more than Kool-Aid. We have more than cookies. Amen. We have more than little prizes. I mean, the sheriff's badges are amazing in many ways. But we have more than cowboy hats. Amen. We have something that can literally change their life. We have it in our Sunday school. We have it in our junior church. We have it in our shepherd's program. We have it in our RU program. We have it in our bus ministry. We have it in our junior church. We have it in our Christian school. We have something that can change their life. Praise God. That's what's awesome about discipleship. But it's sacrificial. And when people come expecting to receive something, it involves time. It involves effort. It is sacrificial. The methods of discipleship, they're often strange. Yeah, we are a peculiar people. You think of, in the New Testament, the four fellows that literally unroofed a roof to get a guy down to Jesus. It's often strange. Strange. Very strange. Amen. Bus ministry. Today, we had two young people, just graduated, big shot seniors, ex-seniors, now freshmen in college to be. Two of them swallowed goldfish. Strange. Very, very strange. Amen. Extraordinary effort. Brian Babs Academy teachers who take very little pay because they're not in it for pay. They take very little pay, lots of criticism. They're not in it for pay. Very strange in our world. You do what? Teach at a Christian school? How much do you make? Yeah, it's very strange. Very strange. It's extraordinary effort. Evangelism and discipleship. It really is. Verse 47, praising God, no matter what. Praising God and having favor with all the people. That's a result. When people are growing in the Lord, they're praising God. You show me somebody that's a grouch and a grump and they're not happy, well, they're not growing. It's really simple. It is. It's very simple. You know, I don't like this and I don't like that. And I don't. You're not growing. Because you could be happy. I've been surrounded by things I don't like and still been praising God. Paul and Silas were in prison. There wasn't anything to like there. Cockroach sandwiches. They praise the Lord. Hello. But see, discipleship, it's sacrificial. It's strange. Number three, it's strict. Why? Well, it's just like salvation. Chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. We're not going to settle for anything else. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other way. It's not possible. If that's true for salvation, isn't it also true for discipleship? There isn't anything else. There isn't any other way. There is no other plan. Okay, the Word of God. There's nothing else. It's amazing how we'll get saved and we'll say that and we'll believe that. Well, yeah, bless God. Jesus said, I am the way. There isn't any other way. And we'll be sold on that and excited about that. But when it comes to discipleship, we think there are all kinds of other ways. We think Joyce Meyer is acceptable. Come on, folks. Why isn't the same true with our salvation as with our discipleship? Well, I don't want to make anybody mad. It's time we make people mad. Because it matters what he teaches, and it matters what he teaches, and it matters what he teaches, and it matters what we teach. And if it isn't from this book, then we ought not be teaching. But if it is from this book, then that is the doctrine. That is what our discipleship is based on. Hey, if Hophni and Phinehas, two leaders, were stopped from offering strange fire, shouldn't we be strict? I mean, if God dealt with them because they offered strange fire, just strange fire, then shouldn't we be strict about our leaders who are discipling? Yeah, of course. And yet you even talk about it nowadays, and it's like, you're not loving. There's nothing more loving. We got to protect the disciples. So it is sacrificial, it is strange, it is strict. And then the last thing, it has to be scriptural. It always goes back to that. What we teach is what they learn. Amen. Look, if you're a teacher in this church and you're not sold on this thing, don't teach. Just stop. Back out. Gracefully. Just say, I'm too busy. You know, come up with anything. I don't care. But if you don't believe the book, if it's not here, then just move on. It's okay. Because what we teach is what they learn. We need some disciples learning the truth. Amen. Titus 1 verse 4, just about done. Two verses, passages, and I'm done. Titus 1 verse 4. What we teach is what they learn. Quote, Pastor Rogers. Probably said better by somebody else sometime or another. I just kind of like it. Titus 1 verse 4. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order, I like that, the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You see it? There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. That talking about the Jews back in those days, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. That would sound to me like a lot of television religion. You're just being critical. Okay, I'm being critical. That's fine. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars. Evil be slow bellies. That sounds critical. This witness is true. Where? That sounds critical. He said it was true about the Cretans. Wherefore rebuke them sharply. That sounds critical. That they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Unto the pure, all things are pure. I like that. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. There's your discipleship. I close with 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And the methods of discipleship are sacrificial, strange, strict, scriptural, based on doctrine. And these are how the church, this is how the church is to disciple. A message of discipleship, the manner, and the method of discipleship. And we've got it. We've got that opportunity. Please don't look at this week, fair week, anything we have going on. Don't ever look at it as, well, we're just doing that because it's on the calendar. It's on the calendar because it's an opportunity.
Amen.
And Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. People say, you know, why do you care if I'm here or not? Because you need what is here.
Amen.
You need to be taught. You need to hear it. You need to grow. Praise God for folks that have family altars. Praise God for dads that teach. Praise God for people that do it at home. Because you can't overdo the doctrine. It's not possible to overdo it. Give it out, and let's be good stewards of the opportunity we have. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed.